Hi, Diana. I have reviewed your Module 3 draft learning activities assignment, and I'm going to give you feedback on that assignment here in this audio podcast. Overall, you've done a good job. I see where you're going with the course. It's very clear, it's consistent. I see that you are applying some of the things that you are learning in this course and following the instructions. And so overall, I think you've done a good job. I'm going to go through module by module and give you my suggestions and my comments and maybe questions or feedback along the way. I do want to say right from the outset that I still think that you are focusing too much on the tool. And I want to see if as I talk you through this, if I can get you to think a little bit more about this approach and how you might tweak it so that you will be more likely to be successful with the faculty that you work with. And I think that's key to this is knowing the audience. And key is understanding your objective. And I think that your main objective is to have faculty consider the possibilities that technology enhancing their instruction will afford them. And you need to be very clear about what the purpose of integrating technology into their instruction is, because if you're not clear, it's not going to be able to be clear to them. And by focusing on the tool or a tool or the tools or tools themselves, you send the wrong message. You send the message that it's technology for technology's sake. And I know that that's not what you believe. I know that that's not what you're trying to do. I know you understand this. Nevertheless, it's the focus on the tool itself that sends that message, and so you need to flip that. And so, for example, you have selected some tools to have them use and to demonstrate for them, and I think that is fantastic because you can actually create an activity where they actually interact and use that tool and consider the possibilities of that tool with their own instruction. However, in the way that you have designed the assignments and the discussion, my opinion is, my suggestion is that it's way too focused on the tool itself and that you really need to have that be a little bit more open for the faculty so that they are able to engage in researching tools that will help them achieve their instructional objectives, which are different from yours. So, when I talk to faculty about technology enhancing their instruction, I start by telling them that, I always say that it is technology in the service of pedagogy. So we start with the individual instructor's learning objectives. And then I ask them to consider the possibility that technology might help them to achieve those objectives in a way that, and I give them some criteria that they can use to evaluate technology. And the criteria that I use is will it allow you to achieve your instructional objectives better, faster, safer, easier, or cheaper? And if the reason, the rationale for using the tool falls into one of those categories, then there is a legitimate reason. There's rationale, instructional, pedagogically focused rationale to explore the potential of the tool to assist them to achieve a particular learning objective with the use or by enhancing their instruction with the use of a tool. I then ask them to look at three sort of distinct areas of their course and how technology might enhance make aspects of their course more engaging. And the three areas are in the presentation of content. So will a technology allow an instructor to present their instructional content in a more engaging way or to enhance it in some way? The second area has to do with the facilitation of interaction and collaboration. And so I asked them to consider, will technology allow them to facilitate interaction and collaboration between students with the content and the student and between the student and the instructor in a way that is more engaging or enhanced in some way? And the third area has to do with providing feedback that is engaging and more effective in some way, more engaging and enhanced in some way. And so when with those criteria, better, faster, safer, easier, or cheaper, and the three general buckets of content presentation, facilitation of interaction and collaboration, and the provision of feedback and authentic online assessment, you have a solid rationale from which to talk about technologies with faculty. And so it's not about the tool, it's about allowing them, assisting them, making their instruction, helping them to make their own instruction, easier possibly, better possibly, help them to do things more quickly in terms, or easier, so that it impacts the amount of time that they have to spend on sort of administrative aspects of delivery of a course, the course management, so that they can spend more time interacting with the students and facilitating discussion or somehow or another interacting with the students. So for me, that would be a very solid point of departure to engage faculty in the conversation of what technology can do for them. They are the ones who have their own learning objectives, their own personalities, their own teaching styles, their own things that they're comfortable with, their tolerances. And so what you want them to do is just consider the possibility that a technology might assist them in achieving their learning objectives in that way, better, faster, safer, easier, or cheaper. And in engaging the students in their content, in the interaction, and in the feedback aspects of their course. And so when you open up a discussion with the instructors, rather than focusing on a specific tool, I love how you bring in a tool and you're going to have them use it. But the focus then on the assignment and the discussion is, how are you going to use this tool, or how do you think you can use this tool? And the problem is, if the instructor doesn't think they can use the tool, then you're cooked. You're done. It's closed. There's not going to be any discussion because they're not going to see any possibilities in that particular tool. So I would open that up, and I would talk about, different ways that instructors use VoiceThread. You know, give an example yourself, which it looks like to me that you're going to use it to have the, like I did with the ice-breaking activity. The reason that we use VoiceThread to break the ice with students is to establish a sense of class community and to begin to express social presence. Both the instructor and the student can begin to explore their social presence, and the purpose of that is for building trust and connection between the students. And so that's the reason why icebreakers are important in general, and VoiceThread is a tool that allows you to hit several of the main points supporting social presence and building the sense of class community. There are lots of other ways that you can achieve those same objectives. VoiceThread is just simply one tool that could be used for that purpose. There are other ways. There are lots of other ways that VoiceThread can be used, not just for icebreaking activities. And so you might want to put together a list of ways that people have used VoiceThread in instructional ways. And I've seen it used as a way for students to present their work, to then have the class critique it, because there's voice and video in addition to text, and there's also the ability to annotate with a little pen right on top of an image that's in there in the center panel there. I have seen math instructors use it to explain concepts. I've seen faculty at FIT use it to have a discussion around two different types of fabric. I have had, you can incorporate video into it. You can into that center pane, and you can have video, audio, and text or, and annotations around it. So you could demonstrate to the faculty the lots of different ways or give them some examples of how some other faculty have used it. And then, in your discussion, you could say, if you're focusing on establishing a sense of class community and building trust, you could open up the discussion. These are how some faculty use VoiceThread. We've used it in this particular class to break the ice in a course, and the reason we do it is for social presence and class community. Now you go out and find a tool that you think you might use to help students break the ice, let's say, or you find a tool that will help students build a sense of social presence and class community. So instead of you doing all the work, you're asking them to consider possibilities and to go out and look for tools, or maybe bring tools in that they have heard about that they might use. Now, you could still leave the VoiceThread in there in case they did see some possible way that they could use that specific tool in their own instruction, and say, in your instructional document, say if you did find some potential use of feedback in your course, then a VoiceThread. If you did find some potential use of using VoiceThread in your course, then talk about it. How would you do it? And so forth. So I would reframe your discussion questions to not be exclusively about the tool, and to not focus so much on you presenting the tool to them, but soliciting them to think about possibilities and to look and see if there are either tools. Or if there you could also have them look at their own instruction and see if there are some issues that they might want to have solved. And then you could recommend some tools for them to use. Based on, you know, if they identify a problem that they're having, something that they would like to improve in their course, then you could give them some feedback in a tool that might allow them to solve that problem in some way. Now, another thing that I would recommend is that you provide some reading for them and examples for them. Like I mentioned, examples of how people are using VoiceCert, but you might want to provide some reading for them so that they understand. And I'm not talking about theoretical research or anything like that, because you'll turn them off immediately. But some small article that they might be able to read that will highlight the importance of, or it could even be a video. It doesn't have to be an article. It could be, you know, something that they listen to, but something that will, you know, make the point succinctly and clearly of why it's important to start off the class with some sort of ice-breaking activity, let's say, right? And so I'm sure that you can find something, you know, good to use, and then use the VoiceThread as an example, really be really clear about, you know, how it is achieving the objectives of establishing social presence and building a sense of class community and why that's important in a class, and then move on to other examples of how VoiceThread can be used for instructional purposes, and then give them a question that says, you know, do you see any possibilities for this tool in your own instruction? Or are there any other tools that you can find that will help you to establish a strong sense of social presence, you know, among your students, and a strong sense of class community? That's how I would do this particular activity. So that's module one. In module two, and so that advice I'm going to say is my general advice for you throughout this course. The next tool that you're going to use is a tool called Voki. Now, Voki, I think, is going to have very limited appeal to faculty. There might be some language faculty that might be interested in using it. There might be, you know, some faculty that might want to engage their students in using it. So there'd be an activity where the students would be using it. Oh, I just had a thought about VoiceThread. There's a woman named Michelle Pekansky-Brock, and I'm going to make some links for you so that you have the resources, and you should look in our DECO group, because I have a ton of resources on VoiceThread. But just keep that in mind, that you might find something cool and examples that Michelle has published. She also has some free public Google Hangouts and webinars that she does regarding the integration of technology into instruction. And so I just want to turn you on to her, because she's really fantastic. I actually know her. She just wrote a book, and I actually have a blurb on the back of her book recommending the book. So I just wanted to let you know she's very well known and a good resource. She's also in Twitter, so if you're not following her in Twitter, you should. I'll put all those links in some links to you, and I'll be sending that out via email in a while. Now back to Voki. I want you to think about what is the instructional, you know, underpinning for the use of Voki, and what could it be in this particular course, in the course that you are delivering? Is it to establish the instructor's social presence? Is it to establish a sense and connection between the students and the instructor, to have the instructor seem you know, like a real person, have them see something? Is it, so for me, the use of Vokey has to do with social presence. It has to do with building class community. And it has to do with building a connection with the students so that, you know, they can hear your voice. And it embellishes the presentation of the content. So they see an animated icon avatar there. And so it makes the presentation of that content more engaging. Now, again, it's limited in its impact, I think, in its appeal, because you only get a minute to talk, and so, you know, the way that I used it was as a welcome, as an introduction. There are other ways to use Vokey, and you should look that up and have, you know, a couple of examples of ways other faculty or teachers have used that tool. You know, use it in the course, you know, I'm just not sure that Vokey in and of itself can carry an entire module. So if it was me, because I think that, you know, primarily the use of Vokey, that you want to have an authentic reason for using Vokey in your own course, you can use it to welcome the faculty to your workshop, to your course. And so I might put Vokey into module one and have VoiceThread and Vokey be the two tools that you introduce as sort of welcoming and icebreaking type tools, then have examples of how other faculty have used them in other ways, and let faculty look at them, play with them, and consider them, consider the possibilities of the use with them, but leaving it open-ended so that they could bring in other tools that they might want to explore for the purpose of, you know, for whatever purpose they can think of, or for the purpose you're presenting, which is, you know, to break the ice and to have students, you know, establish their social presence and their sense of class community. So I'm not really sure that Vokey can carry an entire module. The next tool that you target has to do with creating audio files with Audacity, and that happens to be the tool that I'm using right now to record this podcast, and I think that that is an interesting tool to present to faculty, and the reason that you would, you know, you need to get real clear in your own mind why you would suggest to faculty that they record anything for their students. You know, you want to use the recording that in your course in an authentic way. So not just for the sake of using Audacity, but maybe you want to actually give the faculty feedback using Audacity in the same way that I'm doing it to you. And you want to give them the rationale of why you might want to use audio feedback. Now, the reason that I use audio feedback, well, first of all, my friend Phil Ice, who is a researcher, you should look him up. He has papers that talks about the efficacy of audio and video feedback for students, and how it's much enhanced and much more engaging and much more effective than text-based feedback, and especially in an online teaching and learning environment. So the other reason for me is because it's much easier. I'm sitting here looking at your learning activities assignment, and all I have to do is talk. I'm looking at your assignment. It's as if you are standing right in front of me with your assignment, and I'm having a conversation with you. And it would be much more difficult for me to be typing this out. Already I've been talking here now for about 23 minutes, giving you very detailed feedback on, you know, every one of your modules and components of your modules, and it's much easier for me to do this than it would be to write it out. it's also a richer experience for you. It's auditory. So you can be looking at your assignment while you are listening to me talk to you. And right there, we're hitting two senses. We're hitting your visual, senses and your auditory senses. And that makes it more engaging. The more senses that you can engage in a student, the more engaging that instructional element, that instructional event is going to be. So you want to be able to explain that to your faculty, that you want to do audio feedback, that audio feedback is one of the things that you could do with a tool like Audacity. The reason you would do that is because in some cases it's going to be easy. It'll make your workload easier and lighter to produce an audio file as opposed to writing stuff down. And that in addition to it being easier for you, it's going to be more engaging and a richer learning experience for the student. You would want to pull together evidence, some kind of a small article that talks about providing audio feedback or providing audio content for the students. It's the presentation of content. Let them listen to podcasts instead of reading a lecture. They could produce a lectured podcast. I have examples of art historians who go to museums. Two of them go to a museum, walk through the museum, and have a conversation on art history in front of the actual works of art, and then present that to their students as a more engaging and interactive listening experience rather than a straight-up lecture of one instructor talking to the students. So there are lots of extraordinarily creative ways to use audio. You can use it for feedback. You can use it for content presentation. You can have students engage in interaction using audio. They do that in VoiceThread, for example. You can do that in combination with video, and students, you could talk to faculty about having, so it's not just about the faculty person, it's also about the activities that they design, and having students create audio files that would be some sort of an activity that would help the student make their learning and their thinking visible to the faculty person. So audio recording themselves, their comments, their discussion comments, or there's a tool called Audio Boo that you could look into. And I think probably John Prush knows about this tool, so probably you do too. But just, certainly in language courses, audio is going to be important. So you need to think that through. The challenge here is that if one of your instructors doesn't feel that audio will have any benefit for them, or they have no interest in or no understanding, they don't believe for whatever reason that audio is going to help them achieve a learning objective, then you've lost them for this module. They're just not going to engage. And so you need to open that up so that you're not stuck if they don't want to play with Audacity. And you can't make anyone find relevance in a tool. They have to organically feel that it is, that there is some benefit to them to climb the learning curve of using a particular tool. And so that's why I use the criteria better, faster, safer, easier, or cheaper. And I always relate it back to the pedagogical objectives, the learning objectives of the course. It has to start there, and there has to be some benefit to the instructor, and you have to help them see what the possibilities are for enhancing the presentation of their content, facilitating interaction and collaboration between the students, and providing effective and more engaging feedback Otherwise, there's no reason for them to consider the possibilities of that tool, let alone enhancing their instruction with technology. They already, are overwhelmed with their teaching load and with trying to navigate the course management system. And most often, once they get it down, they don't want to change and they don't want to move. So you have to show them what the benefit to them is. Explain to them, with a little bit of theory, why they should consider it. Give them examples from other faculty and how it's been used. And then say, what do you think? Is there some way that you could use this tool that will make your instruction better, faster, safer, easier, or cheaper? Is there some way you can enhance your content? Some way you could facilitate interaction and collaboration? Some way you could provide more engaging feedback using such a tool? And if not this tool, then some other tool. What instructional problems are you encountering? What would you like to improve? What is something in your course that's not working as well as you would like? And let's talk about that a little bit to see if there might be a tool that would assist you. Okay, so module 4 is about student collaboration. So you're on the right track. The modules that you have are on the right track. It's a matter of tweaking the discussion, beefing up your presentation. So having something for them to read that is going to make it more compelling, make the case more compelling that technology might assist them in some way in this particular topic, let's say, of student collaboration. Come up with examples to show them and then set them free to toy with the ideas in their own mind to explore the tool themselves or bring in some other tool that addresses the issue of student collaboration. Do you see what I mean? So in this one, you're going to have them create a wiki and use a wiki to promote student collaboration. So I would suggest the same thing. I mean, there's lots of different ways and lots of different tools that will facilitate collaboration, not just a wiki. In this particular case, you've selected the wiki and you want them to play around with that and with the idea of it, and I think that's great. Build the case for it, show some examples of it, ask them if the wiki is something that they think that they could use, ask them what instructional problems they might be having that they would like to improve, and see if there's some in the topic of student collaboration. So in each module, you would focus on the topic that you have identified for that particular module, and then set them free. Say, is there something else that you would like to try that will make your instruction better, faster, safer, easier, or cheaper, that will have your that you can engage the students in terms of content presentation, in terms of collaboration, in terms of interaction, in terms of feedback. Is there something some tool that you could use that will allow you to do that? Now, again, the point is not to get them to use 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 different tools. The point is to have them have one tool that they can see will really impact, will really have some benefit for them. And if you can get them to consider the possibilities of one tool, then you have won. You totally have achieved your goal. Because the goal is not for them to just shove a whole bunch of different technologies into their instruction. That is not the goal. The goal is to have them be effective in an online teaching and learning environment, to be more effective, and to understand how to be as effective as possible given the options and limitations of the online teaching and learning environment, and to have them leverage technology effectively and well to assist them in achieving their learning objectives and to help them teach and manage their course as effectively as possible to facilitate the presentation of content in an as engaging a manner as possible, to facilitate the collaboration and interaction between students and the activities that the learner-centered activities that they design for their students. So it's not just about the technology that the instructor uses in the course, it's also about seeing if there are activities that the instructor can design that for the students to use these technologies that will make that activity more engaging for the students and that will provide artifacts that better demonstrate, better allow the student to make their thinking and their learning visible to the instructor. So it's not just about the instructor's use of the technology, it's about incorporating it into their own learning activities as well to make their instruction more learner-centered, more engaging, more effective, and so forth. Your module 5, you're going to talk about Adobe Connect Pro. A lot of faculty will probably resonate with that, and primarily because most faculty, although I don't know what it's like at Excelsior, for me, most faculty are most comfortable lecturing. And so one of the things that I try to avoid is supporting their security blanket of the lecture. I want them to think about different ways of engaging students and presenting content to their students that's not a lecture. But I totally understand, and I think Adobe Connect Pro is a fabulous tool, and I think that it can be used very effectively, and you guys must have that tool available to the faculty, and so presenting them with effective practices for the use of that tool, I think, is very good and very relevant. You're going to want to think about why it is that an instructor would use this tool, how you're going to use it for an instructional objective you have in this course or workshop, and have everything that you do in this course be a model. So you shouldn't do anything in this course that doesn't have a strong connection to a learning objective that you have in the course. And the learning objective isn't learn how to use Adobe Connect Pro. It should be meta to that. It should be, presentation, the effective and efficient presentation of content. Or if this is a synchronous activity, how to leverage synchronous online teaching practices effectively. So you could conduct, one of your demonstrations of one of the tools using Adobe Connect Pro, and you would choose something that could only or could best be accomplished and achieved with the use of Adobe Connect Pro. You want your activities that you are conducting in this course to be as authentic as possible and as models of effective uses of the technologies and the design of your course to be a model for the instructors. So my feedback is essentially the same. Oh, I noticed that you're having rubrics, and so I'm very happy to see that. In module 6, you're going to have them create a Prezi. Now, again, Prezi for the sake of Prezi is not the point, and not everyone is going to want to use Prezi. It's not relevant for everyone. There are lots of different ways to present content. Prezi is one way that they could present content. Prezi just in and of itself, just like PowerPoint in and of itself, in an online teaching and learning environment is really not how that tool is intended. So unless there's voiceover the presentation, I'm not sure. So you need to understand the effective practices of using these presentation softwares in an online teaching and learning environment, because otherwise what you're going to get, and then also specifically to that particular tool, because Prezi, people go nuts with Prezi, and then, anyone watching it, they're going to get vertigo and get sick. So you want to know what the effective practices are of the use of the tool. And you want to have some good examples of the use of Prezi in higher education or in the presentation of content in online courses, so that you can show those to the instructors. And then you want to open that up. You know, what other ways can you engage students with the presentation of your content? It's not just through Prezi or through PowerPoint. There are lots of different ways to present content in an online course. And so you want to leave that open for faculty to explore, I think, I suggest. Your Module 8 is the wrap-up. You're going to have them create Glogsters, which I think is interesting. I like the idea of having them, showing them that tool and having them explore it. And it sort of seems like perhaps you're asking them to create a portfolio of their lessons learned, maybe, on the Glogster. Which I think is interesting, but there's lots of ways to do sort of collages, right? There's lots of different kinds of tools that facilitate the creation of collages, and so you want them to think about how they could have their students use a similar sort of a tool to make a presentation to the class, for example, or to collect resources, as I think you're having them do here, as their portfolio, or as some sort of a project that then could potentially be presented. So my advice is the same here. What I don't see is your class community area, and so I think you need another module. And, you can call it whatever you like, but in that module you would have, like your cafe where the students could go to network and interact socially. You could have a resources, a list of links or resources for the students, sort of like we're using DIGO. You could have a suggestion box. You could have a bulletin board for your course announcements, something like that. And then you would also provide, at the end of the course, you could activate the link to collect descriptive feedback from the students. And I would suggest that you look at the course manual and look up descriptive feedback or culminating activity. And there I have an example of an instrument that I recommend that you adapt or adopt as your descriptive feedback collection instrument. It's not a course evaluation. It's not a faculty evaluation. This is really you and the student, you getting feedback from the student on very specific things in your course that you then can use to improve and revise the course for the next time you teach it. So keep that in mind. It's different than a course evaluation, and it's different than just the open-ended question of, did you like the course, or what did you like and what didn't you like? It's different than that. It's asking very specific questions. If you leave it too vague and too open, you're just going to get students saying, yeah, the course was great, or, it was too hard, or, and that's not useful feedback. You need very specific questions to elicit specific answers that then you can, look at to see if they make any sense for you to use when you revise and improve the course. Okay. Diana, you have a great start here. I am looking forward to seeing what you do with all this feedback. Holy smokes, I've been talking for 42 minutes. And I'm looking forward to seeing how you take this course and put it into your shell, and what feedback, how you incorporate the feedback. You've done a great job. You're doing great in the course. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what's next.